Yeah.
Somewhere a cat is crying.
Sorry.
Scott series winner is still Kylie.
Liam's is still Vanessa Carlton, and it's been a whole 2 weeks so far. Record-breaking stuff.
If I could fall into the sky, do you think time would pass me by? Because you know I'd walk 1,000 miles if I can just see you tonight.
Welcome to our adventure. This is the Naughtiest Naughty. Scott and Liam here going through every single top 10 of the Naughties decade, because word in the street is it was the last best decade for pop music. We agree, but instead of just saying it was the best one, we're looking for the ultimate tracks and going through it song by song, chucking some in the bin because, you know, there's been some scandals, but pretty much going through them all and seeing if we can find a episode winner every week, which goes head to head with our series winner, and it's a winner stays on for our series winner. And yeah, Vanessa Carlton and Kylie, if you don't know much about the podcast, they're two pretty significant winners. That makes sense. Yeah. Doesn't it?
They could reasonably still be there by the end, couldn't they?
Yeah, if we were at a point where we were saying it's the 18s, people should be worried if they're new to the podcast.
Yeah. We've still got 7.5 years of pop music to go, so it stands to reason that I'll change at least
70 more times.
Yeah, possibly. I change about what, like sort of 6-7 times a year. Yeah,
it's
going to be a bumpy road for me. Whereas for you, you've not changed very much and you've really hit a stride with yours. I worked out that it was January this year, as in like our real time.
Our real 2021.
That you changed to Kylie. So in a couple of months or in a few weeks, it'll be a full year since you first chose Can't Get You Out of My Head.
Yeah. Wow.
That's quite a milestone, isn't it?
That is quite a milestone, yeah. I still think that, you know, it does have the legs to go the full way. But that's just based on the fact that, you know, I've got brain fog and can't really see anything extra past 2003 yet.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to get some, like, I wouldn't say we're going to get decades and decades or like years and years of big, massive pop bangers. But I think I can see artists that are coming.
Yeah.
Where there's going to be challenges, you know, because we're going to get Lady Gaga. We're going to get Rihanna. We're going to get things like that. Am I just assuming it's females? Maybe. Yeah.
You've kind of leaned towards them, haven't you?
Yeah.
Kind of semi-consciously.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I wonder if like all of the tracks that I've loved from men historically have always kind of been a bit more underground or a bit more kind of not stereotypical pop. But, you know, we're doing the analysis. It could be anything.
Yeah. And we're going in chronological order, even though my YouTube suggestion is try and turn my head otherwise.
Yeah.
I'm finding that all it takes is one click on something that takes you to something else. And then suddenly before you know it, you've transported from 2002 to like 2003, 2006. Suddenly I'm gone from like Madhouse Like a Prayer to like Three of a Kind, Baby Cakes.
Has that been your week?
It's been that kind of thing, yeah.
That is a jam.
But like, is there a connection there? I don't know. Like between like Madhouse, Bowling for Soup and Three of a Kind, a lot of very chesty videos, and I wonder if the algorithm thinks I'm a pervert.
Yeah, it seems to be suggesting specific things for you.
Yeah.
See, that's why having a child's quite good, because my YouTube algorithm is fecked. It is predominantly Cocomelon. Whatever weird conversations I've had with my wife, and it's now suggesting things for us, like weighted duvet blankets. Yeah, and music actually doesn't come up that much, which is pretty odd. But yeah, my YouTube just looks strange. It doesn't look anything like this podcast or any future artists that will appear in this podcast, to be honest.
I was in a pub on Friday and there was somebody at the table at the other side of the pub talking about punk music. They were drunk and talking quite loud. And they're talking about The Damned, famous punk band The Damned, New Rose. And in my recommendations yesterday on YouTube, considering they were on the other side of the pub and I'd never Googled The Damned, came The Damned.
Yeah.
I'm just spooked.
Yeah.
I'm constantly spooked. On Instagram, I was talking to a friend about like money and when you get paid, like, you know, putting some away and making sure you're looking after yourself and like not spending it all on one day like a payday millionaire. Instagram advert, wealth management.
Yeah.
And I haven't got wealth. I've just got like a paycheck. It's not wealth, but
I think now those video suggestions aren't based on things you're clicking. It's probably based on your conversations and what it kind of hears go off in the room, you know, from maybe a screen share to a screen or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
I need to change my habits. I need to change my conversations. I'm going to start having conversations with myself and just see what it does.
You can turn off some of the settings on your phone for it to do that specifically on Facebook, and then I'm assuming you'd need to go to a YouTube setting so that doesn't happen. But mine's are turned off, but it still does it. So,
but where's the fun in that?
Yeah, weirdly, yeah, because I think what's really fun is to hear how you didn't have the conversation, but you got the advert.
Yeah.
So that's quite an interesting one.
Just manifesting, like, I'm not going to say what my brain went to there. Anyway, marital aids. We'll get into some pop tunes and we'll start because our best mates, who we've seen in the actual flesh now with their own actual eyes, H and Claire, have dropped their follow-up to DJ. Daniel Bedingfield takes a different path, and it's the end of the road, small violin, for Hearsay.
Yeah, plus a solo debut for Romeo Dunn. Lasgow Are Alone and a second successive number one for a rejuvenated girl band who were out in their arses not too long before this. But first,
let's start a new week. This is the 18th of August 2002. We're going to talk about my club, Newcastle United, briefly because they're off to a cracker this season. They've beaten West Ham 4-0.
And all right.
It's the start of a pretty good season. I think they finished third this year. It's a far cry from Newcastle currently, who haven't won a game and look like they're going to be the richest club in the world, but in the second division.
Yes.
As things stand. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. We think about those happier times back in 2002 when things were rosy and Bobby Robson was our manager.
And Bobby.
Yeah.
My wife told me when I met her that Bobby Robson was her granddad, and I believed her, not really knowing that much about football or sarcasm. And then it turned out we went to a restaurant. Where did we go? It was the Ravensworth Arms in Kibblesworth in Gateshead. Mm. And Bobby Robson was at another table and she was like, oh my God, there's Bobby Robson. I was like, well, you're pretty rude for not speaking to your granddad. And she's like, what? And I was like, you told me he was your granddad. And she's like, no, it didn't. And I was like, you really did, because I've told everybody in Limavady that Bobby Robson's your granddad. Turned out it wasn't. It was a lie. And she, who's called Victoria, also at the time introduced herself as Vicky with an I, and still swear blind she didn't. But I have her in my phone as Vicky from the original typed thing from
How
the meat.
Funny.
Cute. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, strange.
She's living a secret life, a double life.
Well, Bobby Robson.
Yeah.
What a sweetheart.
I know. I saw him on a plane once. And he wasn't a sweetheart that day.
But, was he not?
You know.
Okay.
Oh, that's the thing about celebrities. Like, I can't make a judgment and say, like, oh, he's so rude. It's just like, he's on a plane. Like, leave him alone.
Yeah.
He got way more leg room than us, so.
Oh, did he?
Just saying. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. It was like a standard, you know, like, passenger flight. But he had, like a whole front room's worth of leg room, and we were like sat squashed at the back.
Mm-hmm. No good if you want to put your knees up, you know, when you just need to move position. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so sometimes it's great, but sometimes it minimises your options.
Yeah. Anyway, sadly missed. Yeah. New in cinemas this week was Spy Kids 2, Island of Lost Dreams, which sounds like it's going to be terrible because it's like Spy Kids 2. But actually, the first couple of Spy Kids films are crackers. And I saw this in London with my dad. So around this time, I must have been in London. We went to Windsor. We saw the palace.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a change of the guards, which is quite cool. Mm. We saw Spy Kids 2. And I got evacuated from a hotel in the middle of the night because there was a fire alarm.
Wow.
So I was out in my pyjamas outside this hotel with my teddy bear talking to strangers.
Oh, wow.
Made lots of friends that day.
That's so exciting. I remember whenever I started doing one of my first breakfast shows in a radio station, I'd gone to London to network with people, and my wife had a job interview at the same time. So she went off for a job interview. I was a bit bored because I was in between meetings with people and decided, because there was a fire evacuation from like a big building, I just went and followed everybody. Because obviously in London, you can't fire evacuate just outside your building. You have to go to some sort of like park or whatever. So I just followed them all. And then there was no reason for me to do this, but I started taking selfies. This is before like iPhones. Started taking selfies of me in this fire drill with this company and just walked around people and talked to them for the crack and pretended they were okay.
Yeah.
Didn't know any of them and they didn't know who I was, but it was quite funny because I think it was, who is that guy talking to everybody? There's some selfies.
I've worked here for 4 years. How dare you?
Yeah. Admin Scott. Oh, you don't know us. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how you know you're doing your job right, because nobody notices.
Yeah.
Just like you're a cog. You're a perfect cog behind the scenes.
Yeah. So London fire drills are weird.
Yeah, well, I discovered that myself, I was watching Mission Impossible on TV, and then the fire alarm went off and I had to leave.
I love how you remember that. It's so good.
Well, it's just one of those standout things. That's where I got my driver's license, at Legoland on the go-karts.
Ah, right, okay.
I still got that somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of history. Pop music-wise, a song we'll do in a few weeks' time that isn't quite in the top 10 yet, but we'll get to it soon. Kelly Osbourne and her cover. Now, we did Madonna recently doing... like a prayer.
Uh-huh.
And she did
Papa Don't Preach.
Papa Don't Preach. Let's take a listen.
Papa don't preach, I'm in trouble deep. Papa don't preach, I'm in losing sleep.
that's coming soon.
I enjoyed that.
I always forget she had a real, like, a pop career.
Mm-hmm.
But she has that. Obviously, she has the track with her dad, Changes.
Mm, didn't love that.
Yeah. But iconic tracks, and we'll get both of them in due course. Number one this week, you've lost Darius. He's been booted off. But in comes Sugar Babes for their second consecutive number one. And as we said earlier on, it's kind of mad that we're in a position where Sugar Babes are debuting at number one twice in a row now, considering just how turbulent the first album was. They were like sort of teenage girls and it was just drama, drama, drama. Things seem stable for now. And actually, on board, having had Richard X last time, is another kind of like pop legacy group who had a longer career than Richard X did in the mainstream. And we're going to see hit after hit after hit after these people and build it up a lot for them. But it's, we do need to give credit to Sugar Babes, because this single is called Round Round. Round, round, baby, round, round.
This is the follow-up to Freak Like Me off the album Angel With Dirty Faces. All three of them, Mucha, Keisha and Heidi, all have writing credits on it as well, too. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't realised until I did the research, this was a sample. This was a sample of a sample, to be fair. So this sample's Duplex Inc. Tango Forte, which sounds like this. Which in itself is supposed to be an uncredited sample of Les Baxter, Whatever Lola Will Do, or Whatever Lola Says, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can really hear it. It's in the Duplex one. That's much clearer.
Yeah.
But I had no idea that was a sample. Did you know it was a sample?
I didn't. No, but it makes sense.
Well, as I listened to it, I thought, oh, based on the fact Freak Like Me was a clear as day sample, I wonder if this one is as well.
Yeah.
And let's go and check it out. But yeah, it was a nice little surprise. I've got this down as an intro juice.
Certainly, yes.
Straight away.
Yeah.
I pretty much love this.
Mm-hmm. Produced by Kevin Bacon, but not that one.
No.
14 writers, including, as you say, the Sugar Babes, but also Niara Scarlett, Tim Powell, Nick Kohler, Miranda Cooper, and Brian Higgins, who are Xenomania.
Yeah.
This is our first sample of them in the years to come. We'll get Girls Aloud, we'll get Mini Viva, we'll get The Saturdays, and we'll all be just a bit happier, I think, because they're in our lives now, and they've made a real impression on this era of music, and they still are to this day, actually.
Yeah.
Whether they've made it or they've just been, you know, inspiring others, this is a big, big pop writing stable who just did things a bit differently, didn't they? This started off, according to Miranda Cooper, as a stunning drum track. It was just a drum track. They had the Sugar Babes in the studio and they said, we've got 3 hours to do something with this.
Oh, wow.
And that's how it came together. Much like how Richard X did Freak Like Me. It was just kind of like, I'm in the studio. I've got some, you know, sample here. Sugar Babes are sat over there. What are we going to do? And because these are talented people, they made it work.
There's so many stories of people just being in studios, isn't there, and being asked to come in and do stuff.
Yeah.
This, especially in this era.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go and make some mates in a studio, hang around, and you've got a hit.
So Miranda Cooper went through every song she'd ever written over the last few years and just tried to sing each bit of it over the drum beat to see what worked. And what stuck was Round, Round, Baby, Round, Round.
Wow.
She concedes that it's absolute nonsense. The whole song is kind of a bit nonsense, really. Like, it doesn't really... I'm not really sure what it means, but that doesn't matter. And it never really does with Xenomania, because it's just like, it's all about interesting pop sound and kind of unique pop sound that you haven't heard before. Whether it makes sense or not is not really the point. It's just like, how satisfying is it as a bit of pop music?
Mm-hmm.
And this is very satisfying as a bit of pop music. They've carved a bit of a niche, haven't they, between this and Freak Like Me. They've stepped away from the kind of like the critic's favourite Who Did Overload. Like a song that's kind of like
London,
you know,
R&B.
Yeah.
Underground R&B pop girls.
Now they're mass appeal, but they're weird in a really wonderful way.
Yeah, it's grungy though.
Yeah.
This is kind of like as if they did a British version of what Pink did.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
actually, if you think of it. I love the lower rumble of Mutya in this. I think she sounds really, really good. Mm. I love the kind of the tonal bends of Keisha whenever she goes, if you hate me, I will show you. I love the bends in it. I think it sounds really good. And as much as it's like very much about a beat, and the beat kind of gives it tempo, if you take the beat out, there's something really sexy about what's happening in between every beat.
Yeah.
Noise-wise.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're like in a really good one. I love the fact that this is like the second dark one,
mm-hmm.
you know, really vibes-wise, and it just seems to really work for them. So yeah, I'm in Hooksville with this one.
Yeah. I was talking to someone recently and they were saying like that this isn't the best era for Sugar Babes. It's more like later down the line where it's like it's things like About You Now or Push the Button. I'm like, I'll be curious when we get there, because at the moment this feels like properly fresh. Like yeah. By About You Now, it's kind of like it's a diluted thing and it's kind of more like close to the mainstream, whereas this, like, this feels very unique and ballsy.
Yeah, About You Now, actually, when you listen just to the intro, it's two-bit, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually that's not that genius at that point.
No.
This is, production-wise, genius.
They're ahead of the game here.
Yeah, but I did, when we started doing the podcast, I put a Best of Girls Aloud on rotation on Spotify when it was car journeying, and it was because it turned out I would sing to it and it would warm my vocals up before I did early morning shows.
Yeah.
I had to hide a few of them. Few of the ballady ones, not too many, and the very last one, Beautiful Cause You Love Me, I didn't love that, but now that she's won The Voice that leads singles, that leads on it, Nicola, I'm more inclined to listen to it. But I like pacier stuff. But I then also wanted kind of, right, I've overdone Girls Aloud here, let's do Sugar Babes. I skipped way more than I should. I could have gone through the whole Girls Aloud back catalogue with only two ballads skipped and gone through and joined into the whole thing. But actually, Sugar Babes, I thought they had more things that would keep me going.
Yeah.
But I skipped quite a bit, which is odd. And actually, I actually like some of the Sugar Babes ballads better than Girls Aloud ballads.
Interesting, yeah. Mm-hmm. None of them have like a rock voice, but it creates this beautiful juxtaposition because they all sound like sexy and real.
Yeah.
And for Heidi's kind of bridge near the end, I mean, like, that's amazing. It just drops out and becomes like an Alicia Keys sort of track.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes back around into this, like you say, grungy,
yeah,
like sort of precursor to Sound of the Underground, doesn't it? It's
a very
interesting experiment that puts them, you know, in the sphere before Girls Aloud kind of put them on the map.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really liked it. I remember at the time, I remember the video because I can remember there was like hurricanes, there was a cage, there was wind, there was a lot of kind of leather clothes and stuff.
Yeah. I feel like rubbish is like sort of swirling around.
Yeah, things are swirling. Yeah. And I remember, I can remember the hip movements in time to that beat. And
just
I
like
remember
a sort of a shoulder sway, isn't it? It's like a whole body sway.
So it was like a real hip, like, you know, if you were to kind of Mexican wave your hips on the beat, and they had their shoulders going perfectly in time, their hips were going in time. But I remember people dancing to it, like girls dancing to it and kind of just dancing the same way that they were. And it's back to that kind of, you know, the midriffs being out.
Yeah.
And hips being a thing. Yeah, this was like, if you were into the hip swing, this was ideal for you.
Yeah. Mm. It feels like they finally found their purpose. Like, you know, Overload, they're all in their cardigans and they're all sitting around being like, oh, look at us. Whereas now it's like, there's a real kind of edge to it and there's a real, like, clear, everything feels a lot more clear with this one. Like, it feels weirdly, like, because it's so nonsensical really in the lyrical content, but it still feels like thematically quite tight.
Yeah.
And the look kind of compares with that as well. A YouTube comment here from Sinan Arslan who says those eyebrows are thinner than the line between life and death, which I quite like.
Which is the opposite to now. People are brushing them upwards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This is great. It was used in the film The Guru, which I haven't seen.
Oh, right.
And it was also used in the film Kangaroo Jack, which I have seen. Do you know about Kangaroo Jack?
Nah.
It was, they made it as a serious kind of like detective-y kind of film set in the outback, and this Kangaroo Jack character was kind of more like a figment of imagination. Like it wasn't a character in the film. It was more of kind of like a symbol or more of like a motif. And then the studio got a hold of the film and was like, I think we can recut this. We can film some new stuff, recut this and make it a kid's film.
All right. Okay.
And suddenly Kangaroo Jack becomes a animated CGI character that fits in with this film. So they've just tweaked it ever so slightly and like sort of removed some of the more adult bits. And suddenly actors like Michael Shannon, who are known for like really serious, dramatic, he's quite intense. Suddenly he's in a kid's film.
Oh, wow.
And suddenly it's got Sugar Babes in it. And like, it's just one of those weird stories of like how Hollywood can just do that.
That's amazing.
It shouldn't have happened, but it happened.
Yeah.
And Round Round was part of it and probably was the best bit of it from what I remember.
Yeah.
It was shit, but there you go.
But it was a good song, so.
But it was a good song, so there's always that. We'll take heart from that. Right, this is a number three for somebody who we've spoken about before as part of the So Solid crew. What's they called now? So Solid? They've dropped the crew part because it's a connotation to like gangs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Interesting. So this is a debut single for Romeo, but he's also joined by Lisa Mafia and Thug Angel from So Solid. And the track is a self-titled track called Romeo Done. Romeo Done, Romeo Done.
Anybody else remember him from Celebrity Big Brother? That's kind of my more recent version of Romeo Dunn. I don't think I necessarily watched it. Like, I think by the time he was in there, I was done with anything to do with Big Brother, really. But yeah, I remember liking this. And when I listened back to it, the opener was weird, but I enjoyed it, which would, like, it's obviously, it's all very points. Everything points at Romeo.
Yes.
Which I think just about works on him. It would be really cringe for anybody else. It would be too intense. But yeah, the little cringe opener kind of works for him. It's the only person it could probably work for. And just generally, we're back to the same thing we said with So Solid. I just overall like his tone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this could have been very cringe, couldn't it? I admire his confidence and kind of self-assurance to, like, write a song about himself and how much of a baller you are and call it after your own name and have other people sing about you.
Yeah.
Like you're a superstar. And I guess they are, because he's part of the Solid crew who've, like, had a number one single and have done very important things for London and, like, that kind of scene.
Yeah.
But this is almost kind of like, have you seen the film Shaft or heard the song Shaft, which is kind of like theme entrance music for this kind of detective in this blaxploitation film? Who's the black private dick that's a sex machine to all the chicks? You're damn right. The man that would risk his neck for his brother, man. Can you dig it? This is like that, but for 2002 and for, like, a British person. So immediately, I love that.
Yeah.
And the fact it's got Lisa kind of singing that hook and making him feel special. This is, like, perfect, like, entrance music or walk-on music for somebody. I mean, you've got to be called Romeo, otherwise it's a bit strange. But if you are called Romeo, if you're Romeo Beckham, for instance, he has a perfect song that you can, you know, when you go and do public appearances, be like, oh, just put the CD on for us, please. I'm coming in.
This could have been a Richard Blackwood. You know, this is the same approach.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. Romeo, now let's put it in an intro.
Yeah, but Romeo, because it's Romeo and it's Lisa Mafia and it's credible, this is where it's gone to. Whereas Richard Blackwood, because he wasn't a musician, he was a comedian first and all of that kind of stuff, that's how it could have gone bad.
Actually, didn't,
so we love you, RB. You know, that's somebody singing about you.
Oh, that's so, that's very, that's how you get paid the big bucks.
Yeah.
No, that's a very good point. When you said Richard Blackwood, I thought, oh no, you've the credibility's changed, because now it's like, this could so very easily be a parody. And I'm sure there probably was a parody at least once of this.
It must have been. But so I don't think, well, the thing is with Richard Blackwood's is Richard Blackwood, yeah, it was all about him. There was a cheesy element, but actually there was more hooks in it. Whereas this is actually weirdly forgettable.
Mm.
And really the best bits of it aren't actually him.
No, it's the hook.
It's the hook. I do like the guitar loops in it. That's quite prominent throughout. I think that works. I feel like this is too late for that era. He's very much, he's not even on the tail end of it. It's
almost nostalgic at this point.
the car's been, like, chugging and running out of petrol, and it's that, like, the car's gone dead, but it does that final chug. And the final
kind of coffin splutter.
Yeah, the next chug for this kind of vibe could actually be in, what, 2008 with Platinum and Love Shy, the UKG revival we had for a few tracks. But they were good, so that was a positive.
Yeah.
Chug the car almost restarted there for a few.
Funnily enough, again, when I've been on my rabbit hole of, like, just jumping ahead a bit, it has been. It's a shame because that isn't the top 10.
Oh,
Love,
is it
Love
not?
Love Shy's not. What's it going to be is with H2O.
Yeah, that's a jam.
But yeah, Love Shy's not, which is a real shame.
What about Jodie Aisha?
Heartbroken. Yeah, I'm sure that's
better
top 10, T2.
Yeah, okay.
No, it's got a Weakest Link reference, which kind of dates it.
Wow.
That puts a flag down, doesn't it? It's like a Weakest Link goodbye line, which is like, oh. It's got 21 seconds, references everywhere, 2, multiply, apply, 10 plus 1, Romeo Done. The song also ends with Romeo Done, which is how he ends his 21 seconds verse.
Yeah.
Didn't they try to recall back to a better, more successful time for them artistically? I don't know.
Weirdly, now you point all them out, they're the bits of the song I remember,
yeah,
but they're all regurgitated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love the opening twinkle at the start. Like mm-hmm. that kind of like, well, I can't even rip, I can't do it with my mouth, but the opening twinkle that everyone knows as a common pop sound, that's a very iconic and nostalgic sound for this era. We hear quite a lot in kind of hip-hop and grime music and garage and that kind of thing. It's got like a bit of an Endubs formula of kind of like two guys and a girl doing an R&B track,
yeah.
being quite boasty and self-confident.
Yeah.
This is kind of Endubs before Endubs. Maybe this is an inspiration for what they would go on and
maybe
do.
Maybe he's too grown up at this point. You know, his audience... Mm. For So Solid have grown up and they're not going to buy yeah. music at this point, and maybe his life cycle was done really, and yeah, we needed Romeo this done. From Romeo 4 or 5 years beforehand, you know, we need the dappy age.
Yeah, it does feel like a regression in some ways, doesn't it? Because they've gone from like 21 Seconds, They Don't Know, other tracks that are like Haters, that are all quite intense and quite like, you know, we've said before, pretty much grime.
Yeah.
To then go back to this kind of like twinkly R&B thing. I guess everyone's entitled to go and do side projects and stuff, but do you think maybe this didn't do quite as well as it could have just because people are used to see them kind of in a more intense... Well,
this needed, for him to have succeeded at this point and not have gone bankrupt so soon, he needed to got number one with this. This needed mm-hmm. to be that good that it was going to be a number one, and it needed to pull in people other than So Solid fans.
Yeah.
He needed to attract loads more new people here, and probably the vocals and the chorus weren't enough. I've kind of forgotten the hook. I love listening to it again. I did enjoy listening to it again. I think it's a good song, but I have forgotten the bulk of it at this point, apart from the bits that you've mentioned, Romeo Dunn, you yeah. know. Yeah.
Well, I have written down the lyrics to the hook, and I've also written down some lyrics to a verse as well.
Okay.
So the hook is, Romeo is the type of guy you want to be with. Yeah, fair enough. Romeo, he's the kind of guy that you want to creep with.
Okay.
Romeo, he's the type of guy you want to get deep with. Lie on my couch. We'll talk about things. yeah, and there's also this this kind of beautiful contradiction that you get so often in these kind of tracks. I'm doing it legal. People don't be evil to a casual fella trying to get by. And mm-hmm. in the very next verse, smoke until my eyes go red like the colour of Mars. Overweight girls in the bars. What's all that about?
Don't know.
He's doing it legal though, so that's the most important thing. I'm sure that whatever he's smoking is perfectly, perfectly fine. I'm sure cigarettes make your eyes go red, don't they?
Well, yeah.
Unless it's a wacky.
Had the smoking ban come in Northern Ireland at a different rate? I think the smoking ban came in Northern Ireland by this time.
Or maybe he's like secretly Northern Irish, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, possibly.
But I remember days of like coming home reeking from things and my eyes just stinging. Mm-hmm. Especially with the cheap places where people had cheap cigarettes at the place, just it's sore eyes.
Yeah.
Whether you were on like something a bit more illegal or not. But yeah, as a non smoker, I had stingy eyes.
Yeah. I guess legally or not, we're not insinuating anything.
No.
Do what you want.
Well, he said he's doing it legal, so there
you go. He's doing it. Yeah, exactly. Why would he lie to us? He wouldn't lie to us. Romeo wouldn't lie to us.
Unless it likes contradiction to be musical. Musicality.
Blimey. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm. Romeo, fun. If you will.
So yes, as you said, that this the album Solid Love, which again is not very so solid, crew, is it? Solid Love. It got to number 46. It had two singles. We'll do a second one soon. Do you know who the second one's with?
Yes. Is it not Christina Milian?
It is Christina Milian.
Is it It's All Gravy, Baby?
It's All Gravy.
Yeah, that's hookier. Yeah. It's much hookier.
I can't remember it, but I love the idea
it's
of
all gravy,
Christina Milian
baby.
In a track that has the word gravy in the title.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just picturing like the Dip It Low video, but in like a big pool of KFC gravy.
Yeah, it was weird because obviously people were like, why have you got the word gravy in it?
Yeah.
You know, whenever Alexander Burke did Elephant and people were like, there's an elephant in the room. Mm. Oh, she's saying a phrase. Yeah, Romeo did it first. And I like those approaches to songs because I think that they're different. But yeah, It's All Gravy, Baby's great.
But I'm never not going to see Christina Milian in like a sort of Yorkshire style hunting jacket be like, it's all gravy, baby.
I just think there's an alternative version to the Dip It Low video where she's like being slid around in tarmac where actually it's just KFC gravy.
Yeah.
With like little bits of chicken stock in it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
Dip It Low one?
Oh,
did you? I heard you say that. I didn't know if it was the Dip It Low video or not. But
yes, it caused these record label Relentless to go bankrupt. So it was not a great time. But
no.
We'll get to that. It's all gravy. It's all gravy before too long. song. We'll move down to number four from somebody we've already spoken about in the past, because he had a massive number one single made from his very own bedroom. He's a founding member of the bedroom pop genre. I think in this one, he's actually doing something else that's a bit pioneering. I only thought of it today, but we'll get into it. This is Daniel Bedingfield. Daniel Bedingfield. James Dean, I Wanna Know.
I go Daniel Bedingfield, like it's a sound buzzer. This is the follow-up to Gotta Get Through This and the second single off the album, also called Gotta Get Through This. I thought I'd forgotten this. Did you know it?
It's like Darius Wet. I've had the hook of my hair my entire life.
Oh, right, okay.
But I forgot what goes around it. I've just known that I wanna know if you're busy. I've always had that in my head.
Yeah. So we had UKG with him for the first track, and then it feels like he's flicked a switch in his bedroom synthesizer and gone, let's go electro.
Yeah.
And I hadn't noticed that it was actually quite hardcore electro, and yeah, just was a bit surprised when I started listening to it as well. So
yeah,
I think it's very hooky, but also it's not really hooky. I can't understand what I mean by that, but I think you sing along with it and then it stops and you just forget it really, really quickly. But that it doesn't make any sense as to how quickly you lose it.
Yeah, much like Romeo, there's kind of a cocksure arrogance that we didn't get with the first single. The first one was kind of more like he was in a bit of a chase, whereas this time it's kind of like he's won the chase and now it's like I've won. Come get it. Were people kind of surprised to hear that he actually sounds like this and not a girl? Because in the first one he has the kind of really high pitched up vocals, and here he just sounds like a regular kind of guy.
Yeah, and but we're heading towards even higher pitch in the next track, aren't we? Because we get the one that everybody did in auditions.
Oh, is it If You're Not the One?
Yeah.
Is there any way I could stay?
Yeah,
somewhere a cat is crying.
Sorry.
This is electro. It's got like some little bit of garage sound in there. It's almost kind of got like bits of subtle dubstep wub, like low in the mix as well. But then today I realised that there's this kind of what we now might consider something along the lines of hyperpop. This isn't a hyperpop track, but there's certainly little things that carry across. I wonder if someone like Sophie, who's like a hyperpop pioneer, maybe she was a secret Daniel Bedingfield fan, and that's a lot of her inspiration came from this. That'd be weird to think about, but you never know. Yeah, this has got like a bit of Madonna, Die Another Day in there, which we'll get to soon. Maybe that was a kind of another touch point. There's got like some Michael Jackson style ad libs and those kind of breaths and that sort of thing. But this is the sad, unfortunate bit that, again, like much like you've said with Romeo and Richard Blackwood, he sounds a bit Bon Jovi in some places. You know how I feel about Bon Jovi.
Yeah, I think he's kind of forgettable. Not him, right. I think this song's forgettable for his brand because he's just done something really cool, UKG. This doesn't go here for me. I think this needs someone French. Like, this needs a dance music producer to really finish this off.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, have we had Jean-Jacques Smoothies, two people? Someone around this era that just makes it a little bit different and plays with it slightly differently. But if this had been given to somebody else and produced and mastered slightly differently to suit whoever else it was, it could have been bigger.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a curveball for him, because I think then we're going to go somewhere better with him with the next track. But yeah, I would love to have seen somebody else try this and it been mastered by somebody different.
It certainly feels unique, and you can't knock him for effort, for trying to step out of what he did before and go somewhere unexpected. Because certainly, if you heard Gotta Get Through This, you don't expect this next, I don't think.
No, I think it's nice, because actually what you do is you forget that he's a specialist underground producer, really, because he had such pop stardom with Gotta Get Through This.
Yeah.
Like, this just shows off how skilled he is, really, and how multi-talented he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you forget about Daniel. So I think it's pleasing to hear. But is it the best pop song of the decade?
No. YouTube comment from Max Gershfield. I painstakingly composed this track on my Rotomatter as a ringtone about 15 years ago. Then I got mugged. Wonder if the mugger kept the ringtone.
Oh, dear.
Well, I suppose for Max's sake, you kind of have to hope so, don't you?
Yeah, well,
otherwise
you don't know.
For nothing.
Nah, my wife got robbed and they took all the CDs and left PJ and Duncan's psych on the middle of the floor.
Oh.
They stole the duvet and put everything into the duvet and dragged the duvet out of the house like Santa Claus.
Not that.
But PJ and Duncan, nah.
That's
no
a Geordie hate crime, that.
Yep, that is actually. Big up Middlesbrough.
Also, that's why.
That's where it was, yeah.
Because there were Smuggies, mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll have the Bon Jovi, we'll have the Michael Jackson. I don't have PJ and Duncan. Right, and number six for... Well, actually, no, before I go racing into it, like, we have to kind of have a moment of reflection because this has been an on-running saga. We've done plenty of this band. This is now finally it.
Yes.
This is now finally the last
Goodbye.
One. I've kept... I think after every single one, I've gone, I think this is it.
This is it.
This actually...
This time I know it's the real thing.
Definitely, definitively it. Mm. There's not another one. It's the final single from Hearsay, albeit not the Hearsay we heard from last time because there's been a member change. And this is all part of the controversy. Kim Marsh left in January, reportedly because she was in conflict with Mylene and Noel. The Hell No audition process, much like Pop Stars, but it ended up being Johnny Shentel, who was already in pop bands and was a backing dancer, which they had to sort of assure the fans that they hadn't fixed it and it wasn't a scam or a setup. And then that kind of caused things to unravel. The public turned against them. Not that many people were in their favour to begin with because of the nature of how it all went down.
Mm-hmm.
They were harassed and treated like shit all summer. There was a prank involving a man who claimed to be armed at a service station that kind of, it looked like they were being targeted, but it was actually just a practical joke.
Yeah.
And then just less than 3 months after this track, Hearsay had broken up once and for all. This is their final single. It's called Lovin' Is Easy. I want you to know just how I feel.
This was actually a non-album single, which kind of makes sense that there was no need to make an album.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hadn't really remembered the change when I pressed play on this, and I went straight to music video, and I was like, oh, it's very about Mylene so far.
Yes.
We got a lot of Mylene straight, which I liked. Sure. Then Suzanne, and I really liked it, and then really you didn't see the dudes much.
No.
And it took me ages to go, oh, Danny looks weird. Not Danny, Noel looks different.
Mm.
And then it turned out that, yeah, it wasn't Noel.
It was Johnny.
Yeah, and I wondered why Kim wasn't there, but when I did my research, I realised that she had gone. But
yeah.
This is strange, right? Because I don't think it's a very well-written pop song, but production-wise, this is where they should have started.
Yeah.
And it's as if they're now trying to be Liberty X.
Yes, very much so.
And actually, and I would, you know, I think everybody would say that the best singer in Hearsay was Kim Marsh.
Mm.
But you remove her from the situation, and we've got a bunch of people together that actually work and blend quite nicely.
Yeah.
And I think this is the best that they've sounded so far.
Yeah.
Without Kim, which is pretty harsh. Yeah. Sorry, Marsh.
Mm. Yeah, I know. It's a strange one. With Liberty X kind of in the mix now, and, you know, I think it's safe to say that they've totally surpassed TSA in terms of enjoyability and critical success, not commercially, because obviously Pure and Simple is like the best performing single of all time, which is mad considering how kind of tat it is. You look at Liberty X and how cool they are on their leather and their canes and stuff, and then you look back at TSA before this, and you go, but they're lame. And then here they try to kind of address that and go a bit sexier. There's a bit more midriff and a bit more kind of like breathy sexiness. And it's not a bad attempt, really. Like I felt a bit more close to them. I felt a bit more like an interesting proposition. And I'd like to have seen more, which I didn't think I'd say from here. So I'd be curious to see what happened after this if they did have the chance to do more stuff.
I would say that now. I would love to see what they followed this up with. Because I think after this, had it not all gone pear-shaped, you know, if they hadn't had the circle jerk where everybody hated them, they could have got some really good producers sitting working here. But at this point, they're too late to the party because the good ones are with Liberty X and there'll be contracts galore. But I'm surprised that they were allowed out of these contracts so quickly. Like, to have Kim gone so quickly, I'd be intrigued to see the terms and conditions regarding that.
Yeah.
And did somebody have to
maybe
a compromise,
like,
agreement or pay off or something? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's like gardening leave. Whether they're not doing anything and they're still on the payroll sort of thing, but we're not expecting you to do anything. Just wait till let the contract run down. You've already made us fucking buttloads off Pure and Simple and the first album, so you can just kind of like, surely that's enough.
No. What I really loved is I loved getting to actually hear Mylene sing.
Yeah.
Because you don't get that in the other tracks because they just kept chucking Kim.
Did you kind of hear what I heard and thought that, like, in parts, and this is kind of credit to Mylene but also the production, is like this could have been a J-Lo?
Oh, interesting. Which song
am I thinking of? I'm trying to think of what it was. Because I can still hear Lovin' Is Easy. That's kind of a good sign, I guess.
Are you funny?
No.
No. Which one of you ended up funny is one of the two.
Yeah, I know. If anybody out there can figure out which one I mean, but there's...
Have a second go at it.
There is a J-Lo song that's just like that, isn't there?
Yeah. Can you continue?
The one bit I don't like about that, the only bit that isn't like a J-Lo is the loving is easy. Because that just sounds like sort of...
Yeah.
That's what makes it British and cheap.
Yeah.
Whereas actually the rest of it, like... Mylene's tone, production around it, like I think that is like a J-Lo to me. And it's kind of credit to Mylene that even when she comes in, like, because it's the intro for me that kind of like sets the J-Lo thing up.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mylene comes in and you don't go, actually, no, it's not that. Like, you actually can kind of continue along that path of like, oh, this could come on a radio station. Not that I was like, think it would, unless it was like a noughties cheesy hour sort of thing of like deep cuts. And you could reasonably mistake this for J-Lo, I think.
Mm, interesting. Mm-hmm. Nice point.
It's just, it's a kind of a shame. And it really, you look back at what happened and you think it really wasn't worth bringing in Johnny for what went on, because you don't even hear him in the song. Like,
no.
I'm not even sure when you hear like sort of harmonies that, I don't know what he sounds like, you know what I mean? I've never actually heard him sing, so.
No one was bothered, let's be honest.
No. R.I.P. Hearsay, pour one out for Hearsay. Thanks very much. Let's move on. So this is a track that we were saying before that you've not actually written anything down for, because you know the track so intimately.
Yeah, I needed to get me prepped on, so I jumped on to the last one thinking I know this one enough. Mm-hmm. Can't give you any album details, but I can give you... It was the follow-up too.
Yeah, it was the follow-up to Something.
Oh, you've stolen my line. You needed to do that after we've done the hook, but thanks very much.
Number 7 in the UK.
Oh, Jesus, that's the only thing I've got on my page. Now you're just stealing things. That is literally it.
That is literally it.
Is there a way that you can like turn a line across the middle of the page, separate it out into a noise?
Can you see this line here? I'll cue it and then you can read that.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But just no listener, it was me who wrote it. This is the follow-up to Something from the album Something. It's Lasgo and Alone.
So, I have to zoom in. This peaked at number 3 in their native Belgium. 2 places higher than Something.
Ooh, interesting. Mm,
there's some facts straight off my brain.
Yeah, very good. So, yeah, it did better than the debut.
Yeah.
Not here it didn't, but in Belgium it did. There must have been not a slow burn, but...
I'm intrigued as to...
They built on the success of the first one and did better with that.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Do you know when you just get thrown to an exact memory of something, right? I know that a lot of my memories at this point go back to the Gortine in Limavady and Jensen's a club in the Gortine. But I can remember, you know when you're singing this as you're dancing around drunk and stuff, and I can remember looking at, what was her name? Charlotte MacArthur. And she was singing it too. And you know when you just like two people are singing and you just kind of like pass each other, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I just remember being on the dance floor passing Charlotte MacArthur, the two of us singing this and squealing it, just like loving life, clubbing when we were younger. Mm.
This reuses some of the boing, 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 boing sounds from Something, because that's just what people did back at this time, wasn't it? Because we weren't in that era of... like massive amounts of production packs and stuff. It's a decent attempt to capture the kind of lightning in a bottle, melancholic euphoria of Something, but it's like nothing for me will do that again.
Yeah, I see. I get lots of requests for this.
It's good.
There's a couple. What else do you get? So you get Lasgo Alone, Lasgo Something. There's a third one that I get lots of requests for. Can't remember what it is.
Don't think we do it.
Which is a shame. But this one, yeah, I think this one was interesting in the kind of like key that the high notes end up in. Without you. But yeah, I think it's a stomper. But yeah, the bits in it that probably made you glow through Something don't have the same impact, but it's just like another nice one to have sitting within the top 10, but a good follow-up. It's like what happened with ATB. So ATB, 9 PM Till I Come, was all about the guitar bend. And then that was in the next one, Don't Stop. And was it in the next one again, York and ATB? It might have been in there as well too. But yeah, I'm happy with this era for there to be like a big one, a second one that doesn't perform as well, a third one that misses the top 10, and then just like a class album to be banging around in the car. Really like Alice DJ kind of esque style.
Yeah, I like the vocal hook of Something more. I like the fact that it is a vocal hook, whereas this is just like a pure trance hook, and it doesn't quite rattle me parcel shelf the way Something does. Yeah, I just love that it has a chorus. Something I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah,
that for me is iconic, and this is a bit forgettable. The bit I remember is the the alone line, standing here alone in the dark. That's what I remember.
Yeah.
But the rest, I can hear the boings of the bang, bang, bang.
Weird that you've just thrown me to University of Ulster in Coleraine, driving around the campus. You know, when you just, I know I've pinged to Charlotte MacArthur, but yeah, I'm elsewhere now with this because I can now hear it in my Blue Nova, which is strange. Weird.
On a musical journey today.
Yeah, but I really like this one still. I love the trance element of it. That still makes me feel joy. I love the BPM of it. Probably sitting about 140, 141. And I would, you know, if somebody played this in a night out, I would like jump up, knock off all the drinks at the table to get out and go and like shimmy away to it like I was Sophia Spexler at a rave.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Did you see her 24-hour dance-a-thon for children in need?
I saw some bits of it, yeah. I was really impressed. I think she did really well. I've seen the, because my algorithms keep chucking me out the Sophia Spexler dancing to the travel news. But yeah, I think she did really, really well. I was hoping she would earn more money than drummer because I think she deserved more money than drummer.
Mm.
But yeah, £1 million, like, big deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At one point she was sharing a stage with Tony Blackburn and Gemma Collins singing Cliff Richard, Jesus. Summer Holiday. And it was like a proper like fever nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Well done to her for like tolerating that because I would have gone insane. But like that's credit to her that she's just such a like sort of a happy spirit that she like didn't break.
Yeah.
She just powered through like an absolute trooper. What a legend. So we saw her live recently. Didn't have mentioned it. We also saw Steps.
Ooh,
again,
yes.
Not too sure. I was at the arena this week for Sam Fender. And obviously a very different experience to Steps.
Yeah.
You know, Sam Fender was standing. It was absolutely rammed. It was a different kind of crowd. Like, it was a lot more of like a music, like, sort of serious muso kind of crowd. Mm-hmm. It was obviously being a hometown gig at, like, probably the biggest show he's done in Newcastle, like, is an arena that was full. When people keep saying, like, oh, how was it? I say it was like Geordie Church.
Oh.
Because it was, like, thousands of people all there, you know, generally speaking, all from, like, Newcastle, the northeast, who were there. And, like, obviously it starts with Local Hero and the flags come out and it's, like, a proper, like, Geordie Church experience. Like, it's better than church as well.
Brilliant.
No, lovely. But I just kept having flashbacks to seeing Steps and just, like, you know, Sam Fender's playing, like, 17 going under, and I'm going, tragedy.
You were probably the only person in there that's been to both of those gigs.
I know. It's like, a weird cross-section.
Yeah, that is a weird cross-section. Although I did bump, when we were at Steps and I went to the toilet, I did bump into my boss at a thing that I work for. I do an event, and he was in the toilet, hadn't spotted me. I was like, hello, how are you doing? He's like, this is the seventh time I've seen this, because they've been following Steps around everywhere.
Right.
His wife's a massive Steps fan, him not so much, but obviously jealous. He goes with her. But he'd seen a lot of them. But yeah, unless he just happened to be at Sam Fender too, I'm pretty confident you were the one person that's been to Steps and Sam Fender. What did you do the week before? You did two the week before, did you not?
Oh, I've had four this week.
Love your jeekers.
I'm seeing Shame tonight, we're like post-punk. Last night I saw Working Men's Club.
Yeah, bro.
We're like, the way I described it to a friend is like, it's almost like Ian Curtis from Joy Division didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
He joined New Order and like crossed that with the KLF. That's their kind of sound.
Good
but
one.
Also kind of like partly post-punk as well.
Yeah.
Who else have I seen this week? I'm seeing Sleaford Mods next week, which is kind of like, you know, almost like performance poetry, angry performance poetry. What else have I seen? There's something else. Oh, Sophia. Shout out to Sophia. Wonderful girl from the Northeast. She's pretty new. A little tiny room in Newcastle. She could be like, it was a nice contrast of like Sam Fender on the Thursday at the arena, huge, to like this teeny tiny room for like 40 people, but she could be like just as talented, just as big. No.
No, was it with a PH?
S-O-P-H-I-A.
Nice.
But yes, a friend after Sam Fender gig says, well, what was better then? And there was this kind of long, uncomfortable pause, and we're like, no, really? It's closer than you think.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hey, you're busy.
I need to see Steps again. I think like there's never been a better time to see Steps, it feels like, because they've got all the old stuff, which is brilliant, obviously. The stuff that's coming out now is brilliant, and like they're all at a certain age. I hope that they can do another tour and still feel up to it.
Well, don't go now, because Faye's not in the mix because she's off with COVID.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. So, so now that we've been to Steps, my algorithms are Steps.
Me too.
My TikTok's full of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, she's off. She's tested positive.
So are they still touring now, but was it four?
Well, what looks like...
Is the tour finished?
At the time of recording this, it looked like they did one, and they did one without her.
Oh.
And then they've had to cancel...
I'd want a refund.
Which one have I seen that's been cancelled? Was it Leeds Student Union? One of the student unions might have been Leeds Student Union. They've decided to cancel and reschedule it now because it mustn't have worked.
Oh,
without her, which it wouldn't work without her.
No, it's
I can't
just
see it
the staging,
her.
And so it's like, and she's on the end, isn't she? It would be like a weird. Mm-hmm. Oh no, I don't like that at all. We'll get well soon, Faye. That's awful. I'm really sad to hear that. Two of the band who you know haven't got COVID and have still been doing the shows, but back at this era, I think they were hated by people so much. that people may have, well, I'm not even going to say it because it's not a nice thing to say, but Age and Claire were not popular with everyone. They made their choice. As you said in the Steps documentary, Faye even asked, like, did you hate us?
Yeah,
and that was the whole thing. You know, they are credited with breaking Steps up. Thankfully, they're all back together again and things seem happier than ever, which is nice. But back then, they were doing solo stuff, well, duo stuff, alongside presenting SMTV Live, which people forget about.
Oh, yeah.
They were doing pop music. DJ was a number two or number three, I think. This is number eight. It's the second of three singles for H and Claire, and the track is called Half a Heart.
This sounds like it's supposed to be like an Aaliyah beat, production-wise, yeah, for the first bit of it, as if they're really trying to go cool and credible.
Yeah.
And then I listen to it and I'm just like, eh. But then sound-wise, it gets a bit better in the chorus. And in all fairness, I think it just gets better whenever Claire sings.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
No, there's not, like, vocally, H is fine.
Oh, he's great.
But there was all this hype about it being them together and as if they were the good ones. I'm like, actually, you just don't compliment each other as well. Really, if there was supposed to have been a duo from that band, I would have said you would have really needed to go with Claire and Faye.
Yeah, oh, imagine that.
For the sounds, yeah. It really should have been those two if you needed to do that. Not that you needed to do it at all, but yeah, I can't really remember what this sounds like because I've forgotten it. And I only listened to it 2 hours ago.
Yeah, I've forgotten it as well, but I do remember the important parts that are worth picking out. It does have a familiar American sound. I don't think it's as good as an Aaliyah, because obviously Aaliyah is Timbaland.
Oh, yeah,
this,
no,
to me, is like, there's bits of Hit Me Baby One More Time in here.
Maybe.
But it's not as good as a Max Martin. It's just like there's bits in there that you kind of go, it's a bit like that. But at this point, I mean, if you think about Aaliyah being 2000, 2001, and this being 2002... Like, to me, that it's dated. It sounds dated. It doesn't really sound like music of this time. It sounds like it's a bit in the past.
Yeah.
That probably explains why it's only number eight and not much higher. I think it's forgettable. And after DJ, which was like kids bop level of simple lyrics, mm-hmm, like it was not for adults, surely. Like,
no.
They presented themselves as all kind of sexy in the video and like, we're edgy and cool now. But the song was just kind of like, we're at a party and we've got happy faces. Ha ha ha, clap, clap, clap. This is at least a complete reverse of that. Like, the structure is more engaging. The lyrics are kind of a bit richer and there's more to it. I like the vibe better with this one. I think I like DJ better as like a pop hooky,
yeah,
thing that had like Donna Summer, Jojo Moroder vibes. And I can remember that one. But at least this one isn't like mind-numbingly simple like that one was.
No, it doesn't do much for me at all, apart from bring the mean in my head out where I could crack jokes, which I'm not going to crack.
No.
Which is odd for me. That's not really,
yeah,
that's usually well buried, that sort of stuff. Video, though, we've got very modern trends in the video. So the video, if you took the sound off it and told people, oh, who produced this video, you might think, actually, yeah, it's a big video for an American artist.
Like a Dave Meyers sort, mm-hmm, of big
yeah,
production, yeah.
They have done big, really smart graphic design within it, which is, actually, you know, it's not cheese grater, but it could be cheese grater.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we're in a good place with the video for it, but unforgettable, or sorry, a forgettable song.
Forgettable. It's probably closer to George Michael than Steps ever got.
Yeah.
Which is one thing for it, but like when George Michael's still alive and bringing out bangers like Freak, this just doesn't quite cut it, does
no,
it?
No, it's as if it's like a really, yeah, it's like it's, this is like the eighth track off a George Michael album that he didn't really want to put in the album anyway, but they needed to pan it out to get the, you know, megabyte cost per disc.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
To be thinking, yeah, it's not, I don't know. Sorry.
Okay, we've done our six tracks for this week. It's time to pick some winners. I think I know what I'm going to do. Scott, do you?
Oh, yeah. So, was it last week? I went generous to get a listener's choice.
Yeah, this week's a bit tough.
Yeah, I can't get there this week, unfortunately, because I can't even just convince myself to love some of them. So which you can probably guess, I clear as day have a two.
I've got a two as well, yeah.
Okay.
I wonder if it's the same two.
Yeah, probably.
Actually, I'm not sure.
No, it probably won't be, actually.
No.
But yeah, I've got a two. Do you want them?
Yes, please.
Right, number two this week, Lasgo Alone. And my number one was the Sugar Babes, Round Round.
Simple. Simple, simple, yeah. Simple.
Uh-huh.
For me, I'm also going to go for a two, but the two is... I could do a three, but the three would be the same as one you've already picked. I'll do a three just because I do like it, and like it's tenuously a contender, consider my like definition being actually a contender, but
yeah.
I do like it. I'm not going to disrespect it. Three, Las Go Alone. Hearsay, Loving Is Easy.
Oh, wow, really?
I do like it.
Oh, wow.
I think it's all right.
I was trying to figure out who on earth you were going to pick between Romeo and Daniel Bedingfield. Right, okay. I want you to know just how I feel, that the love inside is truly real.
H and Claire, can't rule anything out.
No, you never know. You could.
But I'm ruling it out. Number one is Sugar Babes, Round Round. Okay. How could it not be?
All right, okay, so yeah. Interesting. Oh, no, this is difficult, isn't it?
Yeah. Hmm. I've been here before with Sugar Babes, and I've chosen them.
Yeah. Oh, you have, haven't you?
Yeah. And if we have the conversation before we get into the main conversation, which do you like better, Scott? Freak Like Me or Round Round? We haven't had that conversation.
Do you know what? If you'd have asked me a few years ago, I would have said Round Round. And then from doing this podcast, I think Freak Like Me's come back around for me.
Yeah.
A little bit. They are very close, though. I'd say they still, even though they're different producers and things, there's still something similar about both of them compared to where we get with Sugar Babes long term.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can't answer that. Oh, can't answer that. There is something cooler about Freak Like Me.
Yeah, it feels underground and...
Yeah.
Yeah,
Richard. You're just trying to make me make your life easier by...
No, I was genuinely curious. I know what I'm going to do.
Okay, cool. That's fine.
So, right. You've got Kylie, Can't Get You Out of My Head against Sugar Babes, Round Round, Here's a Drone.
Yeah, I think that I've kind of answered my own question there, because if I didn't put Freak Like Me up against Kylie and not Kylie off, then there's no way Round Round can do it.
No.
But I love it, and I do think that it would be a competitor for so many people because Round Round's so, so good, but Kylie stays on. Yeah.
Fair enough, yep.
Okay then, so you're in the position where you've got a bit of Vanessa Carlton and those Tinkly Ivories versus Sugar Babes, Round Round. Here's your drone.
So for me, Freak Like Me versus Round Round, I think I prefer Freak Like Me.
Ah.
But that doesn't mean the same for me as it does for you, because I chose that as a series winner.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, is it still good enough to be a winner? Is it better than Vanessa Carlton's the important question?
Mm-hmm.
No,
because you love Xenomania. I think we're gonna end up sucked into Xenomania as time goes.
Yeah. I'm glad that they're here now.
Yeah,
I'm really that feels like another big sort of landmark for the show, that we're into that territory now. And like, when we see them next, I think it's Sound of the Underground in December.
Ooh.
Well, hey.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Round Round is a cracker, but I do like Freak Like Me more, but I also like Vanessa Carlton more.
Okay, so
by that logic, which is the logic we use on this show, Vanessa Carlton stays on. She tingles another day.
Hey dear, ten lady.
God. So we've made our choice. We've chosen three between us. We need to choose something out of Romeo, Daniel Bedingfield, and H and Claire to go in as a fourth.
Do you know what it is? I think if we did H and Claire, because of the steps traction right now, we could get interaction and they could win. Do we want that to happen?
You make an interesting case. Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
Will anybody remember it though? Of the three, which people most likely remember, I think probably Bedingfield, but they're all a bit tenuous, aren't they?
Yeah, I would put
Should we toss a three-sided coin?
I would put Daniel in there, no bother.
Yeah.
just because it has Daniel. So it's between Romeo and H and Claire, are we saying?
No, we've got a four. Sugar Babes, Hearsay, Lasgo, Bedingfield.
Okay.
We'll do that.
Okay. Because you went for 3-3.
Yeah, we'll head across to our Twitter page at TNN Pod. The one for this week hasn't actually finished yet because I posted it late and we're recording this on Sunday. So the winner was out of the four. What did I think was going to be? I'm not sure. But anyway, head across to our Twitter page and that's where you'll find out exclusively. That's a perk of being a Twitter follower. Instagram and Facebook as well. And we love your emails and voice notes, don't we?
We do. You can get us hello at TNNpod with your emails and voice notes, please. We would love that. Want to hear your voices?
So next week, making their return, we've got Nickelback, Atomic Kitten, Paul Oakenfold and Miss Dynamite.
And there's a solo debut for Abs from Five. We've got first podcast appearances from Truth Hurts, Milky and Get Ready for a Number One Single, which could only ever happen in Britain. From Blazing Squad.
Bum, 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 bum. So tell me what you gotta do. I could recite the whole thing for you now.
Could you?
No, I'm not going to.
Oh, good. Thank
you. I'm sure I pretty much could.
I look forward to that.
See you at the crossroads. See you at the crossroads. Oh, dear. Let's get out of here.